This is Doug Miller. Well, you can count on it. If you start to do any work for the Lord, you'll get some satanic opposition sooner or later. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand and knowing very well that God's promise is his Word will not return to him void. So this Word is going out. We expect fruit and we expect blessing, and I think that you will be blessed if you will simply come along. We're in the 13th chapter of Acts. Open up and follow along as we enter into and share the adventures of Paul, or Saul at this time, and Barnabas as they go out on the first missionary journey into, well, out of Antioch. Amazing stories here. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out. That's what we do, and that's what we're going to continue to do as efficiently as we can do it, and frankly, as cheaply as we can do it. No need wasting money on frills or fancy things. We're just putting this Word out and expecting fruit. So we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners and interested parties. We covet your prayers. You've heard me say it many times, and it is true. Please pray for Dialogue. Tell others about us. Support us in any way you can. We would always love to hear from you, likewise, to know where we're reaching, who we're reaching out to, and any way that we can help you. Be happy to do it. So our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you later on. Now, we've got a new telephone number that I want to give you out now. The old one is now defunct. Our new phone number, if you wish to call up and talk to me or one of us down here, is 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. Now, as I've said before, and you'll hear me say again, don't expect to get a live voice here. I don't have a secretary on the payroll 24 hours a day. What you'll get is a recording. And if you leave a message, we will get back with you. Might take us a little time. It's part of our inefficiency, you know, but there you are. Also, you're invited, if you would like, to send us an email. And that's how most people communicate nowadays. I think that's why the Postal Service is in trouble. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Or if you want to pull up our webpage, it's dialogueministries.org. Dialogueministries.org. Okay, that's all the preliminary things. Those are the preliminary things I needed to deal with. Let's look into the Word of God. We are in the 13th chapter of Acts. We are in verse 4, and we have Paul and Barnabas who we saw the last time. Here were individuals commended by the assembly at Antioch, a Gentile assembly for the most part. There were Jews in it, but this Gentile assembly, the place where the believers were first called Christians, are the ones sensitive to the leading of God and to the Holy Spirit who sent out Saul and Barnabas. This Holy Spirit, we saw him saying, "Separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas." Now, as you've heard me say before, I have talked to many people who thought the Lord was calling them to do a work, and some truly were, and some truly weren't. And I guess it's by their fruits that you know them, isn't it? And that's what the Lord Jesus said. And if the fruit is not there, and if the gift does not follow with these individuals, then it's clear that they probably weren't sent out to do anything by the Lord. And another thing that you can count on, if you're out there and everything is smooth sailing and you're getting no opposition and you're doing a work for the Lord, you may not be doing a work for the Lord. Satan has no problems with you as long as you're outside God's will, and he can keep you outside God's will. Now, I'm telling you, my wife and I, this has been many years ago now, were involved in a work, and it seemed like every time we turned around, the roof was caving in on us. We were getting all kinds of oppositions. There were all kinds of troubles and problems going on, and a lady I knew, and still know for that matter, for whom I had and have enormous respect. I would just about listen to her in anything spiritual or that has to do with the Lord, but she was wrong on this one. She told my wife, "You must be outside the Lord's will or you wouldn't be having all that problem." Well, let me tell you something. My experience is quite the opposite. And if you need any proof of that, ask yourself this. Was the Lord Jesus Christ in his Father's will? Absolutely. Was he ever outside his Father's will? Absolutely not. Was everything smooth for him? Absolutely not. It was a fight and a struggle the entire time. He was opposed by Satan from the very first, and by the world, and by all of the enemies that could be thrown at him. And, of course, ultimately, his path led up to Calvary. So don't listen to anyone who says, if you're out there working for the Lord and having trouble, you must be outside the Lord's will. You might be, but you very well may not be. I want you to look at Saul and Barnabas here. Verse 4 of chapter 13. They being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. No question about that one, is it? Who was it that sent them forth? The Holy Spirit. Were they in God's will? Absolutely. They departed unto Cilicia, or from Seleucia rather, to Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, or Salamis, they preached or announced Karagoreo, or Karagel, I'm sorry, Katangelon. Boy, my Greek's great, isn't it? They announced, proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, John Mark, it's interesting, they took him along as, and the word minister here is a word that it's hyperetes, we get our word operator from it, but it means in Greek a minister or a servant, one that's serving or helping them. They took him along as a helper. Now, I don't read anything in this word about John Mark being called by the Holy Spirit. I don't know, therefore, whether or not what to say about John Mark being with them. I know this, that he didn't stay with them long. Now, don't be too hard on John Mark. This John Mark is actually Barnabas's nephew. He was very close to Peter, and he is the man who wrote our second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. So he was very useful to the Lord. He was very profitable. The Lord used him and blessed him mightily. And yet at this time, he was very young and very immature, and he had a lot of growing up to do. We'll see more about this later on. But they had John Mark with them, and they were preaching out in Crete, Cyprus, to the synagogues of the Jews. Now, Cyprus lies off the coast of Turkey, right? Out in the ocean there, kind of between Turkey and Greece. And it is and has been over the years the subject of much bloodshed and fighting between the Turks and the Greeks. But at this time, I don't know that that was the case. It is a beautiful place. And there were a lot of people out there, and actually Barnabas was a Cypriot. He was from Cyprus. This was his home from whence he hailed. And it's only, I think, natural that these men, being out here, went into the synagogues. Both of them were Jews, after all. And at this time, you know, the Jews were the ones that they were really announcing the good news to. The Jews were the ones that needed to hear this. Your Messiah has come. Yes, the rulers and the leaders back in Jerusalem rejected him and had him crucified. But there are a lot of Jews back in Jerusalem and up and down the eastern Mediterranean, the coast there, who believe that Jesus was and is the Christ, and we believe it, and we wish to show you from the Scriptures that this is the very truth. So here they were proclaiming the gospel. But look at this. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, or son of Jesus. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, Sergius Paulus is a Gentile. This is at least a Gentile name, I can tell you right now. And we find that he was the deputy or the proconsul, Anathupato. Anathuptos is a proconsul, and we have every reason to believe that this man was a Gentile. He has a Latin name, and of course the Romans were in charge. And this man, it's quite interesting, said, you know, I want to hear from these guys. And he called for them. And here are two Jews who have been out here preaching to the Jews, and it is very much to their credit, and very much speaks of the fact that they were in the hands of and being led by the Holy Spirit, that they did not hesitate an instant. They went right down here, and you know, we saw the trouble that Peter had getting down to talk to Cornelius. We saw that back in the 10th chapter of Acts. We saw the attitude of the Jews back in Jerusalem about these Gentiles being baptized, and they were amazed and baffled that God was saving Gentiles. And of course, we saw how Peter had to be dragged, kicking and screaming, as it were. And he was as amazed as anyone that the door was open for Gentiles to be saved. But we don't see that with Saul and Barnabas, do we? And I can assume that these guys had been up there in Antioch, in the assembly at Antioch. There is no doubt, we will see this later on, that there were Gentiles coming in there and hearing the gospel and being saved. So we get a very different approach. They don't have to be dragged down in front of Sergius Paulus to preach the gospel. But when they get down there, who withstands them? That is right. This man was a Jew. He was a sorcerer, we are told, and he was a false prophet, and he was a liar. And it is not surprising, perhaps, for us to see that he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Well, what can I say? Let me just say this, and I know, of course, that I'm going to be getting onto some toes, and periodically I have to sit before this microphone, or sit before, not set. You see, I do know English, don't I? I have to speak into this microphone and assure you that the guy talking to you is in no wise anti-Semitic. Quite the opposite. I lean so strongly in the other direction that it is perhaps offensive to those of you out there who, you know, who don't like Jews. I am very committed to Israel and to the Jewish people. I love them. I love them dearly. But let's face facts. They are out there for the most part right now in unbelief, not all of them. We know that there are believing Jews out there. I have friends who are Jews who are believing. And I have friends, close friends, who are Jews who do not believe. And the Jewish people, by and large, as a group, do not believe and have not believed over the years. And that goes right along with what we read in the Old Testament. It's no surprise to us, if we read the Old Testament at all, to know that that's how they were going to greet Messiah. We can read the prophet Daniel. I can understand it. And the interesting thing is that right now they are out there, for the most part, in unbelief and not being at all helpful about seeing this gospel spread because they don't believe it. And we find here something that is rather interesting. This unbelief of theirs, I am telling you, and this is, I know that there's going to be a great cry raised probably because of this, but the source of this is satanic. Look at this man, and I believe this man whose name, Bar-Jesus, Elymas, that was his name by interpretation, which simply means a magician. This man, Elymas, I think stands as a type and a picture of Israel in this dispensation in which we are living. He is trying to keep this Gentile from the faith. And Saul, we read in verse 9, who is also called Paul. Now, this is the first time we see him called this, but it will not be the last. In fact, from here on out, look for it. He will be called Paul, and the name Paul is a Latin name. It means small. Quite interesting in and of itself. Let me go off on a little rabbit trail here. Saul of Tarsus, this man we are looking at here, was a Benjamite. He was the tribe of Benjamin. And the most famous Benjamite of the Old Testament was who? The first king of Israel. Tall King Saul, a man who stood head and shoulders above all of the other Benjamites and of the others in Israel. And if we read of him back in 1 Samuel, where he is called and anointed and set up as king over Israel, we know that he must have been a magnificent-looking man. And yet, he was disobedient, and he was rejected of God. And tall King Saul gives way to a man named David, the second king, the second who God said specifically to Samuel when he went down to the house of Jesse, by God's instructions, to anoint a new king over Israel, one that would be obedient. God said, don't look at his stature, don't look at his physical appearance. I am looking on the heart. This is a man after my heart. Isn't it interesting when you consider this, that Saul, who by his own testimony in the letter to the Philippians, was head and shoulders above all the others as far as his learning went, as far as his commitment to Judaism and his anger and his hatred of Christianity, as far as his upholding the tradition of his fathers. He was above all of them. Isn't it interesting that he was broken and blinded and had to give up all of that and had to go off in another direction and took a new name, a Gentile name, and the name means small. And this is how we will see him from now on. And notice this, he is in verse 9 filled with the Holy Ghost. And he set his eyes on Elymas, Bar Jesus, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, Paul is not just talking here in his own power. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, it says. This is the Spirit of the Lord leading him. And he is talking to this man perverting, and look at what he says of him, a child of the devil. And now he says in verse 11, Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now let me tell you something, and we will probably not have time to develop all of this today, have to take it up next time. And I know how offensive this might be to some of you, but read the book of Romans and read what Paul says about Israel, his own people. Does he say this about them because he doesn't love them? Nonsense. He loves them. He says in Romans 10, verse 1, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But then read on what he says about them. They are in blindness. They, as a nation and as a people, are blinded to the truth. And this is of God, and they are blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. And during this dispensation of grace that we are living in, do not expect large numbers of Jews to come flowing in and believe the gospel. Some will, and those who will have been a great blessing, but most will not. They are going on, and of course most of the Jews I know, and I have once again some very close friends who are Jews, and these guys are atheist or at least agnostic. And they are certainly, they don't even, most of them even believe in the God of their fathers, let alone Jesus Christ our Lord as God the Son who died for them. And this is a dispensational thing. And right now, God is doing a work largely among Gentiles and calling out the full measure of Gentiles into the church. And when that full measure is come in, what are we going to get? The rapturing of the church and God turning back to deal with Israel. Thus, Paul says to Elymas here, You shall be blind for a season. And this is the blindness of Israel. We have a picture of it here. And you shall not see the sun. And it was an immediate thing that happened here. Well, when the deputy Sergius Paulus saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. He believed. And here we have this Gentile being changed and being saved by the Lord. It's an amazing and a beautiful and a wonderful thing here. Well, we're running out of time. Let me ask you who are listening to me out there. Have you been saved? Have you been changed? Have you turned and believed the gospel? I think and I pray and I hope you'll do that right now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue. Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.